So I have a question for you. What is your image of God? When you picture God, what do you picture him to be like? There's a scripture, and it says this from Psalm 145, verse 16, this beautiful description of God that says this: when you open your generous hand, it's full of blessings, satisfying the longings of every living thing. I love that image of God. Though our God is the God of the open hand. He is not tight-fisted. He is not angry. And he's definitely not miserly, right? Like holding on to all of his good stuff, trying to keep it from people. No, the very opposite. What does it say? That his hand is full of blessings, satisfying the longings of every living thing. Just contemplate that for a moment. He satisfies the longings of every living thing. So from the lowliest of creatures, right? I don't know what the lowliest of creatures, I've got some living under my backyard, right? Those little gophery things, right? We try to get rid of because they mess up our yard and create tripping hazards. But God even cares about them. Every little thing. So I don't know what satisfies those gophers going through my backyard, right? Coming across little wormies. I don't know what they're into. You know, I need another dark tunnel for my baby gophers. He has created the world. He's created the universe with the lowliest things in mind. And I'll tell you what, he knows what you and I long for. He knows the deepest places of our heart that just cry out for beauty, for love, for tacos. He knows, right? The deepest longings of our heart, and he is the God of the open hand. My prayer, my hope, what I am working towards in this series about resurrecting generosity is that during these weeks that we have conversations about this very topic of generosity, that we would simply become more like our God. That we would be people of the open hand. That when people think about you and they think about me and they think even about Santa Maria Foursquare Church, that they would come to realize that we're not closed-fisted people, right? But that we so love them the way that God does, that any place where generosity has died or is dying in our lives, that we would allow God to resurrect that within us and would gently pry open our fingers so that we, like God, would be able to bless others, that our hands would be full of blessings just like God's. Amen? Let's be the church of the open hand. We're going to go all the way to the beginning of Scripture today to launch this conversation about generosity, taking a look at four words that God spoke that are central to what we're going to be discovering together about generosity. And so there in your notes, you'll see Genesis 1, 27 and 28. And God has been at work here already creating the world, creating all the known universe, creating everything. And then it comes down to verse 27 where it says, "So God created human beings in his own image." We're supposed to look like him. If his hand's open, our hand's supposed to be open, right? created us in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said these four words. Say them with me. Be fruitful and multiply. Notice that these words, be fruitful and multiply, come as part of God's blessing upon them. Sometimes we can hear those words, you know, be fruitful and multiply, and we just think, okay, he was telling them, go make babies, right? Like, hey, it's just you two. You know, it ain't meant to just be you two, so go procreate, right? Go do that thing that men and women have been doing right since right here in the garden. Go, you know, just be fruitful and multiply. And it's kind of like this command. But there's more to these words than a simple command. This was actually a blessing. And two more times, just in the book of Genesis, God used those same words, be fruitful and multiply. He said it to Noah and his sons after the flood. And he also said it to a man named Jacob, who God was giving a new name, Israel, and launching him to be the father of this new and amazing nation of God's people. I'm going to show you those two verses because you're going to see a pattern here. So go ahead and put those up. And this, the first one, Genesis 9:1, Noah and his sons. Then God, what? Blessed. Come on, say it. Then God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, say it, be fruitful and multiply. And then in all the way down in Genesis 35, verses 9 through 11, God blessed him, saying, your name is Jacob, but you will not be called Jacob any longer. From now on, your name will be Israel. So God renamed him Israel. Then God said, well, this is my name. I am El Shaddai, which in Hebrew means God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. Do you see a pattern? All three times that God used this phrase, these four words, be fruitful and multiply, it was part of a blessing, right? This word bless, this is here in your notes. This word bless means to cause to prosper because of divine favor. Right? I mean, we bless people. Sometimes we even, you know, bless people in God's name. You know, God bless you, right? God bless you, usually after they sneeze. God bless you. But blessing here is not just some, like, warm, fuzzy sentimentality, you know, like inside of a Hallmark card, like, oh, God bless you, have a good day. This is actually prospering, calling forth this flourishing not because of luck, not because of hard work, like you're going to prosper because you're lucky, or you're going to prosper because you've been working hard, but because something of God's divine favor resting upon an individual or a family or a church or a city, that there would be this blessing, right? This prospering because of divine favor. That's what this word blessing actually means. And as God blessed, he uses these four words. What are they? Be fruitful and multiply. From the very beginning, God's intent was that we would prosper, that we would flourish as we walk in his favor, that there would be something about our story that is more than luck or hard work or laziness and bad luck. That there would be something of God's favor upon us that would be noticeable. That there would be something about our lives that distinguish us as people who are blessed. Hashtag blessed, right? Like but it's understanding that this blessing is not just luck or hard work, that it's something of God's touch that is igniting something new and beautiful that would cause us to prosper and to flourish. I believe that packed within these four words, be fruitful and multiply, God is actually providing this life-imparting instruction for how to continue walking in this blessing. Be fruitful and multiply. If we want to prosper in God's favor, if we want to flourish as human beings, if we want to fulfill our God-given purpose in our life, I believe that we have to follow these divine instructions to be fruitful and multiply. And it could sound like God is just kind of stuttering when he says, be fruitful and multiply. It could sound like he's just saying the same thing two times real quick, right? You know, like saying that my wife, you know, is both stunning and beautiful, right? Oh, baby, you're stunning and you're beautiful. Well, that's kind of like saying the same thing two times, right? Or I could say, my wife is really smart and she's intelligent. And you'd go, okay, all right. You've got a big vocabulary there, Pastor. Really stretching it there, but you're saying the same thing two times. Okay? Can I tell you that God is neither stuttering and he really is choosing his words carefully, because those two things that he's saying are actually different. Being fruitful is different than multiplying. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is the instructions that God packs into these four words actually are going to unlock, I believe, truth to you. I've been blown away by this. I've been blown away from what I've been seeing in God's word. I believe that this principle of be fruitful and multiply is carried out through all of Scripture. And I believe that it is tied to walking in the blessing of the Lord, of how we would prosper and flourish because of his divine favor upon us. So let's talk first about being fruitful. And there in your notes, you're going to see there's a little fill in here. And go ahead and put this up. Being fruitful has to do with reaping. Right, there's sowing, that's where we scatter seed, and then there is reaping, which is the harvest, right? That harvest, that reaping, sowing and reaping. But fruitfulness, being fruitful, has to do with that harvest season. It's about reaping. This is about growing and increasing, because we are the ones receiving. Right? I'm like, I'm in receiving mode. God, I am your wide receiver. Boom, just drop it on me. I'm not going to drop it. Just, it's like bringing in the goodness, being fruitful. God, we just read how you want to satisfy my every longing, my every desire. God, thank you that you have given me the capacity to be fruitful. Because we know what barrenness looks like, right? You ever walked in a bit of barrenness in your life where something is just unfruitful, right? You picture that apple tree and it's like, I just got sticks, right? It's like permanent January. There's not a leaf. There's not a blossom. There ain't no fruit. It is barren. I just got sticks, God. We know what that feels like in parts of our life where maybe relationally, maybe financially, maybe emotionally. We're at that place of just like, we just feel barren. No, but God has said, no, part of my blessing is that you would understand I have created you to be fruitful, to actually be on the receiving end of my favor, that you would prosper, that you would flourish. And then that last phrase there is that fruitfulness is about our flourishing. And listen, I know that you may have heard preachers that have talked about God wants to just bless you and it's going to just be, you know, it's going to be rainbows and sunshine and, you know, Lear jets dropping out of heaven like into your backyard full of cash. And that's not what I'm talking about. And we're going to get more into this next week as we go deeper into this idea of being fruitful and multiplying. But that's not what flourishing is about. Flourishing has to do with every area of our life being filled with that divine favor. But that doesn't just look like dollar signs. And when we think about some of the things that Jesus told us, we know that part of life has to do with pressing through struggles. Actually, Jesus saying, hey, if you follow me, you're going to be persecuted. Oh, so God, how can that be the same? How can those two things go side by side? How can I actually flourish while I know that I'm going to be facing tough times? I'm going to be facing persecution. Because flourishing can happen even in the dead of winter. Flourishing can happen even in the most trying and difficult of circumstances, because it is at the soul level that there is this sense of peace and rest and fulfillment and joy, even when things outside are not always looking so good. But fruitfulness is about saying, God, you created me with this capacity to be fruitful. And so I want to show you a picture of fruitfulness. You ready? Go ahead and put up that picture. I love this. Just be fruitful. This is the first half of the instruction. And there's a lot of reasons. And we're going to, as we go on in this series, we're going to talk about different reasons why we're not fruitful and why we're not multiplying. But God has designed us with the capacity to carry a lot of fruit, to carry a lot of his blessing. That his divine favor is not limited to just like, oh, you get one apple, right? No, God has created us with this capacity to just be overflowing, bursting with fruit, that every part of our life would flourish, every part, that there would be no lack at all. How many of you want to be these bountiful trees in God's garden? Amen? Bountiful, fruitful. Jesus picked up on this theme. And in John chapter 15, put that up, John 15, he says a lot about fruitfulness. These are just a couple of the ideas that Jesus dropped on his followers. He said, yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. How much fruit?
Much.
Come on, how much fruit?
Much.
Much fruit. When you produce much fruit, he goes on to say, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Here, go ahead and throw that picture of that apple tree back up here. This is what a disciple of Jesus, a true disciple of Jesus, is supposed to look like. Fruitful. He says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will look like this. You will bear much fruit. This is what my disciples look like. Now, What does he say? Remain in me and I remain in you. Again, two very different things that we could sound like, oh, we're just hanging out together, right? I'm remaining in you, you're remaining in me. It's deeper than that. When we remain in him, that's like us doing our part, right? Okay, I'm going to remain in you. Jesus, where you put your feet, I'm right behind you. I am following in your ways. I am following your paths. You were generous, God, so I'm going to try. I'm trying, Lord. I'm going to do my best to remain in you, right? But that's not where it stops. Then it says, and if I, Jesus saying it, and if you allow me to remain in you, right? This is different than me saying, God, in my own strength, in my own power, with all my choices. Now, that's all important, that we use our chooser to make choices to follow after him, to remain. I'm not going to stray. I'm not going to go to the left or the right. I'm following after you. But then this idea of him being in me is a game changer, because this is by saying, by God, by your Holy Spirit, you have access to all of what's going on inside me. So I'm going to do my best choosing to stay in partnership, in lockstep with you. Where you go, I will go. What you do, I will do. What you tell me is I'm going to do, I'm going to be obedient to you, right? But then, game changer, he comes in to us, to every area, to our deepest fears, into those areas where we're most strongly tempted, right? He begins from the inside out to rearrange priorities, to rearrange the furniture, right? In a way that is going to maximize who we are in him. When those two things happen, we're not only following him, but we've allowed him inside to every area. He says, tell you what's going to happen, you're going to be fruitful. Those little branches that just look like sticks, no more. They're going to start boop, 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 fruit. Abundant, much. He says, much fruit. This is what my disciples look like. And Jesus saying, I'm the one that's going to make that happen. He said, I'm the vine, you're just the branch, right? I'm connected to my Father, the gardener. Guess what? You stick around with me and you are going to become fruitful. This is a work of the Lord. The Apostle Paul picks up on this same theme of being fruitful. And I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 9:8. And we're not putting up the whole part. We're going to get to the end of this verse in a minute. These two chapters in 2 Corinthians, chapter 8 and 9, we're going to be looking at quite extensively in this series, because the Apostle Paul has just such truth on generosity within these two chapters. But today we're just looking at just like about 3 or 4 verses. And in here, Paul picks up that very same theme, that it's through Christ that we actually become fruitful. Because listen to what he says. And God is able to make all grace, say all grace, abound to you. That word abounding has to do with this overflow, like more than you can imagine. This abounding, all God's grace. We can't even imagine, right? I mean, all is grace. I'm blown away when I just even bump up against a little bit of God's grace in my life. But he's saying God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, you'll have all that y'all need. No lack. That is such an amazing description of what it means to be someone who is fruitful. Abounding, abounding, this overflow. God, I can't even picture all of your grace being made available to me so that in all things, at all times, I'm going to have all that I need. I can think of a lot of things. When he says in all things, again, he's not just talking about your wallet and your bank account. He's talking about the very deepest areas that need to be touched by the grace of God. The deepest parts of your life. And I'll tell you, the deepest parts of your life are not your bank account. Now, that the deepest parts of our life will show up in our bank account. We'll talk more about that as the series goes on. But the deepest longings, the deepest areas of need where we need to be touched, he says, in all things. Yeah, even that. Even that area that has been broken in your life. All my grace abundantly can be poured out for you. That you would, in all times, again, not only in the good times, but in the hard times. That at all times, that you'll have all that you need. That is fruitfulness. When God says, as he blesses and instructs us to be fruitful, as my true disciple, Jesus says, as you walk in me and I come into you and remain in you, you will be fruitful, abundantly receiving. Abundantly receiving of all my grace for every area of need. How many of you want to sign up for that? Come on, Lord. I want to walk in your blessing. I want to prosper. I want to flourish. I want to be fruitful. Yes. Praise the Lord. Now, multiplication is different than being fruitful. Go ahead and put up that next slide. Multiplying has to do with sowing. Now, fruitfulness, we talked about, had to do with reaping or receiving. Multiplication is in some ways the opposite. Multiplying has to do with sowing. This is about giving and investing so that others are receiving. This makes sense? So that others are receiving. While being fruitful is about our flourishing, multiplication is about others flourishing. Oh, be fruitful and multiply. Are you catching this? God is saying, I'm going to make you so abundantly filled with every good thing, all of my grace, so that every one of your needs is met, all those longings in your heart are satisfied, but it doesn't stop there. Here is the picture that goes along with the apple tree picture. This is the picture of multiplication. Multiplication is understanding that yes, my tree is to be bursting, overflowing with fruit, but that I would learn the blessing of taking from that fruit and generously sowing it into the lives of others so that they can be fruitful even as God has allowed me to be fruitful. Oh, so this blessing is not just about me. Oh, God, you bless me so that I can be a blessing. And as I bless others, I'm blessed in return. I'm blessed receiving from you, being fruitful, and as I learn to be generous and take from this blessing and cause others to be fruitful, God, you're going to do something back in my life to fulfill me where actually my mission would be completed. I'm telling you, when you catch this, you're going to start seeing it all through Scripture. I believe, and listen, I didn't read this in a book. I didn't read this on a blog. I didn't listen to some other pastor talk. I believe that this message has been developing in my heart for a decade. This series that we're walking into about resurrecting something of generosity, of places where it has died in our life, that I believe that this message has been growing in my spirit for a decade. But what I'm telling you about being fruitful and multiplying, I didn't see this till probably about 5 or 6 weeks ago. I believe, though, that when I have caught this, you start seeing it all through Scripture. Do you remember what, this isn't even my notes, this is a little freebie, right? This is like where we're headed in this series. But when God talked to Abraham and said, you know, through you, you're going to be the father of many nations. You know, I'm going to, you know, you look up at the stars, Abraham, and you can't even count them. Guess what? Your descendants are going to be more than the stars that you're looking up in that night sky. Remember, fruitful. But then what does God tell him about this nation? That through you, all people would be blessed. Oh, so the fruit is not just for me. The fruit has been given to me so that I would learn to multiply so that others would be blessed. God doesn't just care about my fruitfulness. God cares about others' fruitfulness. And he wants to use us in causing others to be fruitful. You following? Are you catching what I'm throwing? Let's look at the rest of that verse that we were looking at a moment ago, and it's there in your notes, 2 Corinthians 9:8. Now we're going to look at the full verse. And God is able to make all grace abound, say abound. Abound. That's like, means overflow, like you're going to have so much of it. You're not going to know what to do with it. He's able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Oh, snap. Is this becoming clearer? Be fruitful and multiply. Instructions for how I would live this blessed life in God, walk in his favor and his blessing and prosper and flourish, is not just about me becoming fruitful, it's about me learning to multiply. The very same word that Paul uses about God's grace, that it abounds, he says, this is the very same trait that I'm wanting to see, that God is wanting to see developed in you. Do you catch that? He's going to abound to us so that in all things, all times, having all that we need, that we can abound in every good work. And when he says every good work, that doesn't just mean coming alongside and patting people on the back when they're having a bad day. No, it actually means doing stuff. It means people that are in need actually opening up our wallets and being generous to help them through a hard time. That means like someone's sick and we're not just like, hey, texting them, wish you're getting better, right? But like my friend Hector did one time a year ago when I was sick, and he showed at my doorstep with sizzling rice soup from North China. Oh my gosh. Changed my life. When I got sick with a cold this past week, you know where I went? North China. You know what I got? Sizzling rice soup. Oh my gosh. So good. Chicken noodle soup, got nothing on sizzling rice soup. It's doing stuff. Abounding in every good work. God has given us this capacity to be fruitfulness, that out of the fruitfulness of our life that we would multiply. In case we might think that that's, I don't know if that's really what Paul meant. Maybe he was just talking about spiritual, right, things. He's not really talking about going and buying people sizzling rice soup or doing stuff abundantly and generously. Maybe he's just talking about spiritually. But God's grace, man, that sounds like a real spiritual thing. I'm to abound spiritually. So maybe we just think that's what he meant, that he's just talking about spiritual things and not practical, physical things. Well, he has more to say on this topic. And so we go to verses 10 and 11 of 2 Corinthians 9. And he says this. He says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, I think he's talking about very practical things, right? Tangible things. Now God who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will also supply and increase your store. He knows the actual physical things that you need. He knows what's in your bank account or what's not in your bank account, right? He knows the very things that you need to make life work. And it says that he will increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. In other words, he's again painting this picture. God knows how to make you fruitful in ways that are going to be so deeply meaningful to the story of your life. Listen to this next phrase. Underline it. You will be made rich in every way. Yes. Fruit. Abundant fruit. But he doesn't stop there. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Wow. Made rich in every way. That's being fruitful. So that we can be generous on every occasion. Sowing. 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 Sowing and reaping. Do you think that may appear a few places in Scripture? The principle of sowing and reaping is caught in these four words of God, this blessing of God, be fruitful. And multiply. God makes us fruitful so that we can take from that fruit and give it generously away. To be a multiplier, you must be generous. And I'm not like pointing my finger at anybody because I got four fingers pointing back at me, right? If I'm going to be a multiplier, it will require me to be generous. If you remember grade school math, if you multiply by zero, what do you get?
Zero.
I love that as a kid, right? What's zero times 18 billion, 500 trillion, gazillion, zillion, zillion? Zero. Right? It doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter how much God has blessed you and caused you to be fruitful. If you don't take and give anything away, it's still zero. Let me say it again to this side of the room. It doesn't matter how blessed we feel, how fruitful we are, how much money is in our bank account, how much health, strength, vitality, great. I'm living the abundant life. If we don't take some of that fruitfulness and generously cause others to flourish, it's still zero. Because God's blessing and instruction for how to walk in that blessing is to be fruitful and multiply. There is no reaping without sowing. Multiplication happens as we generously give away what God has so generously given to us. The problem, and you can put this up on the screen, the problem is this, is that some people have settled for fruitfulness. What? I'll tell you, I think this sums up so much of the problem. I'm not going to say in the world. I'm going to say in the church. And I'm not just going to say the church. I'm going to say in my life. I'm going to say at the Santa Maria Foursquare Church. I think there is a temptation to settle for being fruitful when God has called us to so much more because he wants to bless. He wants us to prosper and flourish because of his divine favor. And we miss it when we settle for fruit. Rather than saying, no, God, I want to pursue you all the way to blessing, which means I can't settle for being fruitful because the calling on my life, my mission, because remember, I believe that that blessing that God gave was instruction. And it's a mission. It is our purpose is to be fruitful and multiply. When I am not multiplying, when I am holding on to that fruit, rather than learning to live with an open hand, that I'm not walking in God's blessing. How can I flourish when I'm only obeying half of his instruction? The problem is that some people settle for fruitfulness rather than God's blessing that only comes from being fruitful and multiplying. They mistakenly believe that by trying to hold on to everything that comes their way, that somehow that they can manufacture their own blessing. If I just hold on to this fruit, it's all going to be good. Then I'm going to be blessed. If I just hold on. You know what? It's the same thing that gripped the heart of God's people, the Israelites, when he took them out of Egypt and they were now in the desert. Do you remember what happened? Could they plant and harvest in the desert? Nope. They would have starved if it hadn't been for God's miraculous fruitfulness and it showed up in the form of frosted flakes. Dropped all over the ground every morning so that they could eat and be satisfied. It was called manna, right? God provided miraculously the fruitfulness that they needed, that they would be blessed, even in a hard place. They were flourishing because of God's provision. But it came with a warning. Don't hold on to it. Don't hold on. Do not hold on to the manna. What do you mean? Well, this is what it says. It says that God gave them enough for what they needed for that day. And God told them, do not try to hold it till tomorrow. Guess what they did? First day, frosted flakes, right, all over the ground. They go scoop it up and go, oh, this is good. Oh, God is blessed. God has made me so fruitful that I'm just going to store it up. I won't have to go out and do this again tomorrow. Next morning, they get up with their leftover fruitfulness that had not been intended for them to hold on to. And it smelled funny in their tent. And it wasn't the camel. It was the manna, it said, had rotted and was now filled with maggots. Because they were trying to hold on to fruitfulness that wasn't theirs to hold on to. Do you see it? Are you catching it? Same thing happens to us. When God blesses us with fruitfulness that was not intended for us to hold on to this portion of this fruitfulness that he's giving, but I'm asking you to multiply it into others generously, to take and to multiply what I've given you. Same very thing happens in our lives, is that it rots in our fingers. It becomes more of a curse than a blessing. Have you ever read the stories of people who have won the lottery and then their life falls apart and they say, I wish I would have never won. The blessing turns into a curse. We're going to finish with this one little story because, like I said, you see this all through Scripture once you catch this principle of being fruitful and multiplying. And it's a guy that ran up to Jesus. It's in Mark 10. We'll put it up on the screen here for you. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Great question. This man was sincere. This man wanted to, like, Jesus, I want to follow after you, right? So tell me. Jesus replies, "You know the commandments. You must not murder, must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely, you must not cheat anyone, honor your father and mother." He kind of gave him a hodgepodge of the Ten Commandments and then threw in cheating as a bonus. It's not in the Ten Commandments. In other words, remember when Jesus said, "Remain in me"? Basically saying, be obedient, right? Follow after me. Do the things that you know to do. And he said, "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." I mean, this is like a good dude. He had done well in just trying to, like, just be obedient, right, to the commands. Do the thing, not go to the left or to the right. And I love what it says here. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There is still one thing you haven't done," he told him. We could insert, "Allow me to abide in you. You've been trying to abide in me, but will you allow me to abide in you?" Because he said, "There's one thing you haven't done. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will flourish. You will have treasure." You know, just stop for a second, because we can get hung up on the word "in heaven." Do you think that the God of all eternity knows, like, what we need and how we would be satisfied? Just don't be bothered by the words "in heaven," because that just sounds so like, oh, well, when I die someday, it'll be really cool. But, like, what about right now? Jesus said, "Sell all your stuff, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure." I know how to satisfy your needs. I know how to bless you and to cause you to flourish. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Allow me to come inside, transform you from the inside out. Then come and follow me, rather than trying to follow me without me really transforming your inner man. And at that, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, because he was really fruitful. He had many possessions. See, this guy settled for fruitfulness and missed his blessing. He settled for what he had, not realizing that he was talking to the God of the universe who could make every part of his life flourish. Jesus just observed, "Oh, I know what's, like, gumming you up inside. You're not generous. You are trying to cling to the fruit rather than give away the fruit that, guess what? I was the one who gave it to you in the first place. Do you think I can't return it to you? Do you think you're going to starve? Do I look like I'm starving?" I mean, it's like, no. I'm going to be able to make you flourish, but he missed his blessing. Here's what Jesus knew that this guy hadn't caught yet. And it's the last verse. It's in your notes. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Or 9:6. Get it right, Pastor. This is what Jesus knew that he hadn't caught. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. If you multiply by zero, you get zero. It's a zero. And whoever sows, come on, generously, will also reap generously. Jesus wanted so much more for this man than his stuff. He wanted him to flourish in every way, but he went away sad. Was he blessed when he walked away? No. In fact, I think like that manna that was tried to be held on to, right? That manna that was not intended for the next day. When this man held on to that fruit that was not intended for him to keep, it just turns to ash. It just starts to rot. It does not, how many zeros are in your bank account does not make you a fulfilled, flourishing, blessed individual. And you're like, well, I'd like to try. I'll test that theory, Pastor. Listen, don't test God that way, because he's already given us the instructions for living in his blessing. Be fruitful and multiply. Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would help to resurrect a generous spirit within us. That God, that you would help to resurrect any place where our generosity may have been dying, maybe on life support. That Jesus, that somehow you would get down deep, Lord, into all those crevices in our heart where there's fear. Maybe some greed. Maybe some misunderstanding that if I don't multiply, how am I going to be blessed? If I'm not generous, if I exhibit all the things that are, if I live with a closed hand, not like you, the God of the open hand, how am I going to be like you and walk in your blessing? So Lord, would you show us, Lord, that it is better to live in your blessing than even trying to manufacture our own fruitfulness and hold on to fruit that was never intended for us to hold on to. Show us, Lord. Teach us, Lord. During these weeks, Lord, as we explore these themes, would you enlarge our hearts to be generous, open-handed people.